96 DGS. Before we do Stairway, what's this liking stuff going on with X that you guys were talking about?
Okay, so on X, formerly Twitter, you could always, well, in the past, you would just heart a tweet and just show like, hey, I appreciate this,
yeah,
I acknowledge,
right,
just whatever. They changed it to likes back when Jack Dorsey was still running things because he just recently X'd about this. I'm sorry, I try to use X instead
just
of Twitter,
tweeted.
But tweeted, yeah, sounds better. Tweeted just sounds better.
X sounds bad.
But Elon came out today and said, okay, likes are now private, so like whatever you want. No one's going to be able to, like, I guess get you fired from work because of the stuff you're liking on Twitter. I personally kind of like it because I have a very silly sense of humor, and there are times where I see tweets, I'm like, I don't want to like this and then have it show up in other people's feeds and ruin their algorithm because my brain is rotted from being on the internet for as long as I have. So I kind of like it from that perspective, but then I also kind of really dislike it because I want to see what other people are liking. I want to be able to go to Wheeler's profile and click on likes and see what he liked today if I'm feeling nosy. And also, I've been liking tweets that I would like to get credit for liking, and no one can see that I've liked them. So it's just the whole thing. I tweeted earlier, or I X'd earlier, and I said, how do we feel now that likes are private? And I had several people respond and say, like, hey, I guess if you're liking literal Nazis tweets, it's really helpful for you. I hadn't seen it from that perspective, but apparently a lot of people feel this way. It's like specifically designed to protect problematic people from getting in trouble for liking the things they like on the internet.
Do you feel like a lot of it's just Elon doing it for Elon?
That's what Wheels and I were just saying on the breaks.
That's how it feels, because he's gotten crap for things he's liked, and now he won't get crap. Now he can do what he wants. And I think there's a good and a bad in it, right? I think there's a good in the sense that normal people who aren't public figures don't necessarily need to advertise to the world that they like or don't like something, right? Like if you're, but what my concern is more public people. You know, elected officials, you know, people that have influence, people that have money, now are freer to tell a person who's putting something out there that's not that great, like, hey, I like that, I got you. And I think public people should be held to account, not necessarily a private citizen who doesn't, you know, that doesn't put themselves out there.
So for someone to know that you liked something, it would take that person outing you.
That person who you liked would have to screenshot your tweet
and
that
say,
you liked
and Donald say, see, Trump liked.
Yeah, or see, Wheeler liked this thing, and that's bad. Like, that's what it would. But if you're liking something from them, it means most likely that you're in agreement on something. That's typically what the like means.
What
like,
is replacing
job.
Twitter, if anything?
Nothing right now.
Nothing. You know, I mean,
Threads exists, but I never go there.
I want to take back something I said. I said earlier you used to just be able to heart the tweet. I think it was a star,
maybe.
Because that it felt a lot more neutral when it was just like, oh, a star. Like, here's your little.
It,
exactly. When it turned into the heart, it became more of an endorsement type of thing. And Wheels and I were talking about this on the break too. I like to like things, especially that listeners sent me, to just show like, hey, I saw your tweet. Thanks for tweeting.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily they're just like, I'm endorsing this with my whole heart. Like, no, but. I don't know. It's just kind of strange to have this website be a thing for so long and then change the likes at this point in time.
Change the guts of it.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right. This is such a story that I'm sure you've seen something on it, Dave, because it's the kind of thing that you and I both follow quite a bit. But there is new research done by scientists that shows that elephants have names for each other.
Yeah, I missed this one.
That they can call each other by name. They recognize their name, an elephant name given to it's just the sounds that they make. And over a distance, they can hear their name being called by another elephant. And they have specific sounds that are assigned to specific elephants' names.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we learn something like this about, you know, the most intelligent, because the elephants are considered some of the most intelligent species on the planet. Dolphins, we know that dolphins and whales have language. They use different tones for different things and they communicate to each other. They have language. Maybe not like ours, but it's still language. How does that hit you? That elephants have names for each other. They have their own language, their own sounds that they use, and it is directed to specific elephants that they know.
I think in the next 10 to 20 years, closer to 10, we're going to have a sea change with the way we look at animals in general. And I think we're going to feel pretty bad.
Oh, my
not
God.
Just like, you know, the industrial raising of chickens and
right,
things
right.
like that, but just the way that we treat them. I don't want to say like second class citizens because we're people and they're animals. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to realize how much closer to us they are.
And I mean, it's an interesting thing because, the you know, we always draw the line between intelligence, right? Like that seems to be our line in the sand for what we will eat and what we will not eat. Right. We don't eat the animals that we tend to think of as being the intelligent ones. We don't eat dolphin. Right. We don't eat elephants. Well, I mean, I'm sure in some places in the world those things happen. But like, I don't know how you call it. Civilized people don't eat that. We in this part of the world don't eat dogs because we see them as companions. We see them as intelligent. We don't eat cats. So we make these determinations based on what we perceive as their intelligence and their ability to show affection and our interaction. We don't eat horses in the United States, although I don't think it's illegal, but it's not very typical. Mm-hmm. I know it is done, but it's not normal. It's not typical.
Which is interesting, isn't it? That at some point we looked at cattle and said, oh, all day long, but horses were useful. You could ride them.
Right.
And use them to round up the cattle you're going to eat.
And I think in the initial stages when all of these relationships were developing, we were not then as a species what we are now. So our decisions now are different. Back then, it probably was as simple as this thing is useless to us for anything but food. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help us survive and thrive and you know all that. But the horse, that's our best friend. The dog, that's our best friend. That dog, he protects us. That dog chases off wolves and coyotes and, you know, like, so in that period of time, of course it made sense that the things that are useful to you, you don't want to kill and eat. You want them to do the other job. But then when we think about things like now in the modern time about an elephant, we know elephants experience emotion, like significant. They will mourn the loss of another elephant and for days, and they stay by the dead elephant to show that they're there. Like, we can see that. We know that whales and dolphins communicate very specific things to each other. And they also have shown mourning and the sense of loss. And also with dolphins, they can also, they're mean. They're one of the few species that will kill for sport like humans do.
I'll tell you who's making a move are the monkeys.
Yeah.
Like
boy. In Asia, my Lord, they're just, one, they're everywhere. Two, they're really aggressive. Now that they figured out that we have food in our backpacks, they're just taking them off people and biting. And
remember the video a couple years back of the little monkey that was on like a little motorbike?
Hell
and
yeah.
He came and like snatched that kid?
On a bungee cord.
That was crazy.
But I'm always interested in that. Like, I mean, like we've talked a lot about every discovery, whether it's something about the past or something about science or something about space or whatever, or like the theory you threw out there earlier, Dave, about the, you know, all of these USOs and UFOs are actually they're actually something. Some species lives here and they have for a long time and they've been able to disguise that from us. Like, I'm fascinated by all of that. But this is also what makes me hate the giant a-holes that go hunt elephants and hunt other endangered species, especially now that we're learning more about how smart they are and how much does that even matter to people moving forward. If you're finding out that the different species are super smart, do we change how we interact with them?
I don't think the people who would go shoot an elephant would care.
Yeah, and again, I'm not talking about people who live are native to a land who have to do those things to survive, right? Survival is survival. Tiger's going to kill and eat you because it's surviving. That's what it does. If you're a human that lives out in the plains of Africa and you have to eat, well, you kill what you kill. You know, that's not what I'm talking about, like the conscious rich bro going on a safari just to shoot something big so you can pose for the picture. Like, that's all. I've always hated that.
The intelligence thing is interesting to me, too. I'm not trying to be contrarian, but why is it that since they're smart, oh, let's not touch
that
one.
No, that's a great question.
But then, I mean, we don't do that with humans. If a human has, like, a lower IQ, we still preserve their life and try to give them a good life. I just don't get the whole, like, we've all just kind of collectively decided, like, oh, those animals are smart, so we'll leave them alone.
we don't let dumb people die, but we certainly let dumb people suffer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. It is just a, I'm not trying to use this as a we need to stop doing whatever. It's just an interesting, like, how do we draw the line? And we've already drawn certain lines. So do we redraw them based on what we know or not? Because we don't feel like it.
Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I was going to say, I think you're absolutely right, Dave. I think in the years to come, we are going to think of our animal companions very differently than we do now. And I think people will look back on us like, and I'm saying this as someone who is not a vegetarian, not a vegan.
Right.
I'm out
Me
here
neither.
Living my life. But I think they're going to look back on us and be like, you are monsters. Like once we, if we find some kind of way to figure out what they're thinking, to really communicate with them, it's going to be like, I can't believe people just did this when they had the option to do something else. They were still eating animals.
Just watching this on TV as you guys are speaking, can you believe that the Sandy Hook first graders who survived the shooting are now graduating?
Wow.
Put it in perspective.
Man, wow. That was that long ago.
That long ago.
You know, did you see, I had it on the list and I haven't brought it up, but did you see that Alex Jones is going to have to shut down all of his
Poor
stuff.
Guy.
And he's, yeah, I know. But there are, and this is the thing that really surprised and bothered me. It shouldn't surprise me at this point, but there are so many dudes on social media that are like defending him. Like, oh, what did he even
it's
do?
It's the next big movement.
Who did he even hurt? I'm like, he defamed families of murdered children. He said they faked it.
Yeah.
He said they were actors and they faked the death of their kids. And he made money doing that. There's a reason why he lost in court. He wasn't persecuted. He did it to himself.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Dave Murray coming up at 3:30. Our buddy Scotty Warman from Bally's will be here at 4 p.m. Chef Cliff is here from Capital Grill. And I get the email from Capital Grill, and they sent me a picture of the scallop risotto. And I'm like, you should probably come do the show.
And, good call, Dave.
So he's here.
Your instincts are spot on.
Right?
That looks pretty good. Can I?
Maybe you should stop by. You should bring that
bring
to
that
me.
Bring that instead of a burger today.
And you're my seafood guru.
Oh my God. So good.
Pretty
so,
good.
I mean, we're talking about it, Chef. I mean, scallops are not easy to get right.
Scallops are a finesse thing.
Or is it a better way to put it? They're easy to screw up.
They're definitely easy to screw up.
Yeah.
I think that's a better way to put it for sure.
I would never make them. Like, I wouldn't even try it because I'd be afraid of wasting the money that I spent on them because it's so hard to get them right.
Especially, you know, the big scallops, you know, you got your nice U10 scallops. So that makes a big difference between your base scallop, you know, so.
Yeah, your stupid scallops.
I get the stupid stuff.
Yeah, your frozen base scallops. That you get
the frozen
ones
that look like quarters. They're really thin.
Yeah, those aren't the ones you want to, those aren't the ones you want to eat.
Do you enjoy cooking the risotto?
I do enjoy cooking the risotto.
That's another finesse thing.
It is a finesse thing. It's a lot of timing as far as making the risotto itself, making sure the rice cooks down all the way and soaks up all that juice. But then we add in, you know, lemon zest right at the end, which makes a huge difference. And, you know, just it's a layer of flavors. And the way that you everything hits that pan makes a big difference.
Nothing add like that a lobster,
little,
boy.
Little lobster in your risotto.
So I'm like resisting.
What's going on this summer at Cap?
I mean, we got, you know, Father's Day's right around the corner here.
Boy,
we can't forget about our fathers.
That's right.
And then obviously Generous Pour, our famous Generous Pour is coming up quick. July 1st, we start that off, and that goes all the way to September 1st. So,
what are you doing?
We got 7 different wines, a bigger range. We have a Copain, Rosé. There's a Brewer Clifton Chardonnay in there that they actually made 37 barrels specifically just for the Capital Grill.
Nice.
For the event. So once those are up, that's all. And you can't get it anywhere else except for Capital Grill.
And what's
Genesis
the price
4.
On that when you get an entree?
It's $45 for the glass. And that gives you the opportunity to try all 7 wines.
And that's why you call it Generous Pour, because you're not just getting a little splash.
That's exactly. So that way you can cater it all the way you want to. You can try, you know, a couple of them. You can try all 7 of them. You can split it up as far as how you kind of, you know, an appetizer course, and you can kind of do your own little wine flight, and the servers do a great job of kind of walking you through that. So
that's very cool. We were just talking, Rachel's boyfriend is a chef, and we were talking about a lot of chefs in town are making a plea like, we need your help. We're down on covers. We need you to come in. Are you finding it especially difficult at CAP, whether it's cost keeping them down or just clientele? Is it a difficult time in the restaurant business?
Yeah, I think it is a difficult time. You know, obviously, I think election year has a lot to do with it. Financially wise, people are a little scary as far as, you know, what's to come. So I think that has a little bit of effect. And then people, you know, the prices are raising. You know, every restaurant you go to, you know, it's a lot more money than it was 4 years ago at the same restaurant. Everybody's, you know, using inflation and having to raise their prices. So I think it is getting a little bit harder because people are being that much more cautious with their money.
The thing about Capital too, and I've been friends with these guys forever, but I am so fortunate and so lucky I get to go more often than your average bear. But for people who go for Father's Day or for an anniversary or we're never going to do this again, we're going to blow it out, that's where you guys really shine. You make that night special.
That's where I think you're right. I mean, it is. That's where you want to spend your money is at Capital Grille because you know it's going to be perfect every time you go. And so it's worth the money that you spend. And that's where it is. It's a great place to have your anniversary, your happy birthday, you know, congratulations, graduations, you know, any kind of special occasion. It's a phenomenal place to go because you know you're going to spend but you're going to get what it's worth. And, you know, we're going to razzle dazzle you every single time. And you're going to be made to feel like a king and queen every time you walk in the door. So,
yeah, I love
you know, that's what we want to do.
We should do a Glover Burger Generous Pour night. Just one night.
I think we could do that.
Yeah. Just maybe even just in the bar. Just, you know, get a fantastic burger for a great price and the generous pour on top of that. And Uber. For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely an Uber night for sure.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Chef.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you.
334 DGS. Dave Wishier here. We are enjoying some Capital Grille burgers and scallop and lobster risotto.
I got to say, everything at the Capital Grille is perfect.
Mwah.
It's just
so good.
Perfect.
Yeah. Really is.
If you haven't been there or you haven't been there in a while, just check it out.
And
just
whether you are a regular or you have never been before, they really do like roll out the red carpet.
Yep.
Like nowhere else.
Yep. It's fantastic.
Man, you have to have this new scallop risotto. So good.
Big old chunks of lobster.
Send some over.
There you go.
Are you a seafood guy, Dave?
I love all foods, but I do love seafood. Yeah.
Yes.
I primarily, you know, I'm
from
I'm
Rhode Island.
Yeah, I grew up in Rhode Island for the most part. So, yes, seafood is quahogs. Got to know the quahog, right?
I don't know what that is.
That's where Peter Griffin lives.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. It's a type of clam.
That's why they have the clam bar.
Yeah, the drunken clam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so what did you think a scallop was?
I thought it was like a clam, like an oyster. That's what I thought it was. And for some,
it does grow in a shell.
Yeah, I mean, there's some similarities, but it's
like not too far off.
As a food, though, it's closer to like crab and lobster texture.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very meaty, very easy to screw up. So, Dave, how quickly do we heat up here next couple days?
Yeah, today we hit 90. So today was the transition day. Humidity still relatively comfortable. I think we hit 95 tomorrow with moderate humidity, a fair amount of sunshine. A week summer cool front is going to come through Thursday night. Probably Thursday. Yeah, it's through by midnight anyway. Ahead of that front, there will be some scattered thunderstorms around. The focus is going to be northern Missouri, north central, and central Illinois. Basically north of the St. Louis area, but a couple of these things could sneak into our area tomorrow evening. Baseball game will be fine. And then they move in, they move out. I don't think there's a lot of severe weather for us, but there could be some strong gusty winds associated with it. 72 for the low Thursday night. Friday, sunny skies. It's 1 or 2 degrees cooler because of that front. 92 degrees. Saturday, sunny 95. Sunday, sunny 99 degrees. Could push 100 degrees for the first time since August 20th. That should continue Monday and Tuesday and next week.
Okay. Race, yesterday you were talking about the Ding Ding Man, and it brought back a very specific memory for me. We all remember the Twin Pops, the popsicles.
Yes.
And they, when you pulled them apart, they never came out exactly right. And my friend's mom, my neighbor's mom, said, here's all you do. One of you gets to pull it apart and the other one gets to pick which one they want. And I was like, you're like friggin' Solomon here. Like, that was the smartest thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
And then if you were the non-picker, you're really careful about getting them 50-50.
Yeah.
Then we did the same thing.
Man, when that bell went off, I don't care what you were doing. It was like, it was like a dog going for a bone, right?
I now know my mom and dad just enjoyed watching me panic. But at the time, I thought they were just the dumbest people in the world. So I'd be like, I need a man. I need a corner. He's going to get it. He's on Goddard Street right now. He's going to be gone pretty soon. And they'd be like, what? What do you need? I need a corner. It's the Ding Ding Man.
So I have a question. Not having gone to the Ding Ding Man as a child myself, did he come by every day? Was there any
every
sort of
every day
in the summer,
every day,
almost at the same time?
Yeah,
they hit the neighborhood almost at the same time.
Because you had no concept of time, Rachel.
No.
You're out playing,
and they weren't just going to give you a quarter because then you'd go blow it on something else. So you had to go get it each time.
So you would be out playing, and you wouldn't really be. Your mind wouldn't be in that space.
It'd then
be
you'd
on
hear this,
the Avengers,
hear
or
this.
Whatever.
Ding ding. Ding, ding, ding. You're like,
getting closer and closer, and you knew it was coming.
Yeah, you'd hear some John Hancock ragtime music out of the speakers.
You'd drop your glove or the football or whatever it was and just leave everyone in the
dust.
You
run to the house.
And run to the house.
You may have had seconds
to
get
that
money situated, get these finances sorted out.
That's what you felt like, though, but the line was always like 10 people deep, and it was going to take forever.
And but now you also know the Ding Ding Man, who is probably 16, was screwing with you because he would just keep going. You just
Where's
ride
he gonna
your
stop?
Bike after him.
I will say, at my last apartment, I would see the ice cream truck come down my street, and I was on the second story, so I would be able to see down into the truck. And every time he would come down the street, the ice cream man would just be on his phone, like fully engrossed in like Instagram or something. I'm like, this feels extremely dangerous for many reasons.
Dave, did you get the same line from your dad? I used to. This is my dad's line was, "We got a half gallon in the freezer."
Oh yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but it's vanilla. Come on,
we've got Neapolitan in there.
Yeah, and all the chocolate's gone.
Come get some Rocky Road from the house.
Totally different.
Completely different.
Yeah,
because we'd have Ding Ding Man, then we'd have ice cream again, like at 8 p.m. for the snack.
That's right.
How cool would it be if we had access to an ice cream truck here at work?
Pretty damn cool.
It'd be pretty amazing.
I'd like it.
We've had that before, right? Like, they stopped by for a tick, and we ran down, and
we had, that was the hit. We spent so much time and money on Phoebe's graduation party. We had Mission Taco cater it. We had, like, all these games and events. And I said, I'll take credit for this one, because I don't have that many great ideas. I'm like, let's have the Ding Ding Man come.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know about that. I'm like, just trust me. So we put it together, and the Ding Ding Man was there for an hour, and everyone went ape crap.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Victory.
Even the neighbors were getting in on it. I'm like, come on over.
Come on over. I'm
whatever,
that kind of guy.
Hobo Joe. I'll buy you a Frosty Paws. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, so thieves have a new fixation. They are stealing charging cables from EV stations because the cables contain copper wiring that can be sold, making them an attractive target. Mm. The number of cable thefts is on the rise. One charging station company says it's already seen more thefts this year than in all of 2023.
Do we maybe on those kind, especially if that's going to become more common because, you know, the idea is that that's going to be more regular, do we maybe need to put a little bit more of a watchful eye on the people who buy copper and wire? Like, maybe you should, like, they should have to register that, like, I bought this from this guy on this date.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they come in with, you know, 20 charging cables.
Right.
Oh, they fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah, all those catalytic converters.
Yeah.
Come on.
Denmark has banned spicy ramen.
What?
Yeah, the Scandinavian nation's food safety agency says that the Samyang products from South Korea contain a level of chili extract that could be dangerous to consumers, especially children or elderly or frail adults. And it says young people are tempted to consume these dangerously spicy foods due to social media trends like the one chip challenge. So they're just not letting it be sold in Denmark anymore.
Pansies.
Something's rotten in Denmark.
Mm. Those things are H-O-T hot.
Yeah.
Those Samyangs, those are crazy.
It's sold all over the world, including right here in the United States, but I'm kind of with
Dave. Are you saying Samyang?
Yeah, that's the, it's S-A-M-Y-A-N-G, that's the name.
Like a guy?
No, it's Samyang. Okay. It's a Korean
company.
Sorry,
I'm saying it wrong and I'm confusing everyone. Trump wants Bitcoin to be made in the USA. He posted on Truth Social that he wants all the remaining Bitcoin to be, all caps, made in the USA, triple exclamation points, saying it will help us be energy dominant.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I guess he wants all of it mined here in the United States. I don't know how we would accomplish that.
It's been years. I've invested in Bitcoin. We've talked about it numerous times on the show. I still don't get it.
I mean, I get it. I just think it's really stupid.
You mean the concept?
Yes. Mm. Like, we're going to invent this thing, and we're going to mine for it? Where did it exist naturally? Like, gold exists in the world naturally. You got to go get it, take it out of the ground. You have to mine it.
Does it exist? I mean, I'm sorry if this is the stupidest question ever, but does it exist online naturally, and that's how we mine it?
Well, this is my point. So there's money in the internet? Just in the zeros and ones, there's just money. Like,
wait, isn't it if you are using all the power to, like,
yes,
yeah, then they give you a little cut of the Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're funding little pieces
but
of the coin.
It's all digital,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So what are you mining out of the digital that has value that you should get money
it's
for?
Not so, I think mining is probably a confusing term.
Yeah, it's not.
I can't believe I'm the one saying this. But I think it's more like the managing, the keeping, the holding.
Yes. So what Bitcoin mining is it's literally just you are using your computational power, which is why it takes so much energy and so much power and all that, to verify whatever millions
microtransactions,
whatever billions of transactions Bitcoin wise have gone by, you are verifying those like a bank would. You
but
are
it's
using
still
your
made
power
up
that,
though,
and they give you a tiny cut.
It's still something people said. I now say this exists.
Well, yeah, but isn't that everything in society?
Well, that's not. I mean, but all the other things are backed by governments that have the resources to say this is insured by us.
Which is why I'm certain at some point we're going to have like a United States Bitcoin. That's like the United States dollar.
Governments all over the world talk about
and again,
going into crypto.
That's but my biggest question, though, is like, who's to say that if you're going to invest in Bitcoin, that whoever is running it says, I'm keeping all of that now, mm-hmm. and there's nothing you can
well,
do about
that's
it.
A government
kind of happened already.
Right, exactly.
A government cryptocurrency wouldn't work because the whole point of cryptocurrency and why it's used and why people like it, the people
can't
that
trace
have it.
It.
Is that it is not regulated. It's an unregulated currency.
Which makes it perfectly safe.
an unregulated imaginary currency.
It's very unsafe, and it's very perfect. Foolish to invest a bunch of money in it, but that's why people like it, is because it is a completely unregulated thing. And also, I would say to what Kevin said, though, about things being backed or whatever, I mean, stocks aren't really... Pensions and stuff like that aren't really. That's how people lost them all back in
2008. No, but the money is, like, the actual dollars are backed by the U.S. government. They are printed by, and the, you know, the European Union and all that. Like, the money is backed by a larger organization of people, and then people agree that those organizations have authority. Now, that doesn't mean that they should or that whatever. I mean, but that is the reality of it.
All right, let's move on. Winning Mega Millions tickets were sold at two stores 1 mile apart in the town of Largo, Florida. This is really cool. A pair of $4 million Mega Millions tickets were sold this week at two Publix grocery stores located on the same road. And yes, they were less than half a mile apart. How lucky.
I am famously an agnostic. I'm a skeptic. And yet I feel there's some sort of magic in where I buy my lotto tickets.
Well, sure.
Like, I always think, like, there's like a little Phillips 66 near my house. It's not very nice. And I think this is exactly the kind of place that would sell the winning ticket. And, of course, that makes zero sense.
Let's do one more story. A rare white buffalo calf was born in Yellowstone National Park on June 4th. It's already become a popular site for tourists, but the calf means a lot more for members of the Lakota tribe, who say it fulfills a 2,000-year-old prophecy that predicts better times ahead.
Yeah,
let's hope that it's true.
Let's hope they're right.
Do you want me to do more stories, Dave?
No, it's good. We're good.
I think that really tied together nicely with your superstitions about buying lottery tickets.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Better times ahead.
Better times ahead.
Lottery tickets coming.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
This is a weird, sad story. One of the Four Tops, the singing group, went to a hospital because he was having chest pains and trouble breathing. And when he said that he was one of the Four Tops, they called the psychiatrist and put him in a restraining jacket because they didn't believe him.
They couldn't just look at his name?
Yeah, Google it.
Yeah.
That's awful.
That's ridiculous.
Is he okay now, does it say?
Yeah, he was eventually diagnosed with a heart infarction and pneumonia, and he had 3 seizures. It's a pretty good case. Pretty good case. The worst one-word text you can send is the word sure. It's passive-aggressive and shows disappointment.
No, it's not.
Sometimes yes, and sometimes it just means sure.
Sometimes I feel like they make these stories just to give us all anxiety, right?
Yeah, don't text this one word.
I definitely respond badly to that.
Do you?
What about sure exclamation point? Does that change it for
it's
you?
It's better. And and again, it's a specific group of people. People who are very close to me, if you say sure, I can say like, well, do you mean yes or do you mean like no? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if it's someone who you don't know that well, then I'm always just like, they're not into this. No.
I feel like you send me sure a lot.
Yeah, because we're close.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. So you know the intention.
I got a little worried. I was like, uh-oh. Yeah.
I get what you're saying. You're talking about people that may not get the shorthand version of how you would normally reply.
Because it's always in response to a question, a query.
Yeah.
Hey, would you like to go get an ice cream at the Ding Ding Man? Sure.
I'm just going to start randomly texting sure for no reason to people.
I get what you're saying, though, because then like if you know the person, then it's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. But if you don't, then it's like, well, hold on. Because I definitely get that impression sometimes when people say sure. It's like, do you mean like yes enthusiastically? Or are you like, eh, whatever.
Little exclamation point doesn't hurt.